The Case of Roger Carboyne by H. Greenough Smith. The mysterious and extraordinary circumstances surrounding the death of Mr. Roger Carboyne have excited so much interest that it is not surprising that the room in the Three Crows Inn, which had been set apart for the inquest, was crowded at an early hour. The evidence was expected to be sensational, and most sensational indeed it proved to be. But for the even more remarkable denouement of the case, it is impossible that any person present could have been prepared. The jury having returned from viewing the body, and the coroner having taken his seat, the court immediately proceeded to call witnesses. Mr. Lewis George Stamer, the dead man's friend and companion, whose name had been in everybody's mouth during the last 3 days, was of course the first to be examined, and his appearance obviously excited the strongest curiosity. He is a young man of 25, tall, dark, and wearing a slight black moustache. His marked air of self-possession and his quiet and direct mode of giving his evidence were manifestly those of a man who had no other motive than to relate the facts exactly as they happened. His testimony, which, it will be seen, confirmed in every respect the extraordinary rumours with which the public are familiar, was as follows. My name is Lewis George Stamer. I am a medical student studying at London University and at St. Bartholomew's Hospital. Mr. Carboyne was a fellow student with me. He was 2 years older than myself, and we were fast friends, attending the same lectures and generally spending our vacations together. 10 days ago, we arranged to spend our Easter holidays on a riding tour on ponies through North Wales. We started on March the 15th and carried out our programme day by day until the 21st, last Friday. On the afternoon of that day, we mounted our ponies at the door of the inn where we had stopped for lunch, the Golden Harp at Clanmoir, and rode forward on our way. It was then about 2:30. The weather was fine, but very cold for the time of year, and the ground was whitening by a light fall of snow. It must have been nearly 5 o'clock when a slight accident to one of my stirrup levers forced me to dismount. I called to my companion to ride on, and that would overtake him immediately, and he did so. The road at that point runs along the mountainside, between a lofty cliff upon the left and a precipitous descent upon the right, but the path is broad and smooth, being, I should say, from 10 to 15 yards wide, and in no way dangerous. About 50 or 60 yards from the spot where I dismounted, the path turned at a sharp angle round a point of rock and became lost to sight. I happened to look up while still engaged upon the stirrup leather, and I saw my friend disappear round the angle of the road. As soon as I had finished my work, which took me somewhat longer than I had expected, I remounted and was about to follow him when I was startled to hear his voice cry out for help. It was a shriek, a single ringing scream, uttered as if in extremity of agony or terror. I galloped forward, and on reaching the angle of the road, I was surprised to see his pony standing in the roadway some 60 yards ahead with the saddle empty. The rider was nowhere to be seen.
What time had elapsed since he left you?
Oh, I should say about 4 or 5 minutes, possibly 6, but not more than that, I feel sure.
What did you do next?
I rode forward, calling his name loudly and casting my eyes in all directions, but I could see no trace of him nor of any living creature. The cliff, which at that point formed a deep bay, round which the roadway ran to the corresponding angle at the other extremity of the arc, was as steep and naked as a wall. On the other hand was the precipice. When I reached the spot which the pony stood, I perceived that it was trembling as if strongly startled. It made no effort to escape. One of the stirrups was lying across the saddle, the other was hanging in the usual position. I saw nothing else unusual about the pony, but on casting my eyes upon the snowy road, perceived marks as if a struggle had taken place.
What was the position of these marks?